Welcome to an encounter with the Spirit, Word, and Prayer through the prolific apostolic and teaching ministry of Apostle Femi Lazarus, lead pastor of Spirit of Life Church Global. It is his vision to raise God's end time on.
God has not called you to prove you are the best. He has not. As a leader, you are a broker of gifts and talent.
So, brace up for an experience.
Oh, yes. Make sure everything within you is blessing him from the very depth of your heart. Let everything within you bless him. Thank you, Father. I want to give you 2 more minutes to bring him worship. To bring him worship from the depth of your heart. Sikra ha fenish te fende roko si fandish. Sende crederos te fende roko shinde. Oh yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Sente gero gonoro goro goro goro. From the very depth of your heart. Oh, yes. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we're praying. Thank you, Father. We honor you, the Ancient of Days, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord of hosts himself. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Can we just say it loud and clear? Thank you, Jesus. I want you to truly mean it and say it with all enthusiasm. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say it again the loudest you can. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen. Who is excited to be in church tonight? Amen. God bless you. You may please be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. I don't know how we're going to do it, but tonight is like 4 Bible studies in 1. Are you sure you are ready for such? You don't sound excited. Abuja, are you sure you are ready for such?
Yes, sir.
Or maybe I should go to Lagos and preach in Lagos. How about Ibadan? Ibadan, they are saying no. Okay. Okay. All right. I want to specially welcome everyone to Bible study. And I want us to give those online a big round of applause. Just welcome them specially. And if today is your first time on the site and online, I mean, you are in for a serious business, we want to welcome you specially. God bless you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, tonight I start a new series, and we're going to be on this throughout the remaining part of this year. All right, then by January, towards the middle or somehow, we're going to commence Isaac and Ishmael, which is our next series. Is that okay? You don't look like you're excited. In Abuja, everything is coded, even laughter and smiles. And you are happy, show it. Show your excitement now. I think, ooh, is the official way of showing excitement in church. As if we are sirens. Ooh, hey! Find another means. Show excitement again. Okay. Amen. When we get to heaven, and finally meet this person that is called Glory. The person who said Nigerian church, you wanted to cut my ears. Amen. That's not a doctrine, okay? I don't know if glory exists. I know glory does. Praise God. Okay. So, we're starting a new series titled Survive. Very direct. And I want to... One of the things I hope to be able to help us understand tonight is to be able to help us realign our doctrinal foundation, particularly about tough times. Is that okay? I want to help us bring different perspective to it. Because it seems that the, shall I use the word introductory class, that many believers had when they were coming to Christ, you were told that when you come to Jesus, you will not experience any problem. And sometimes we just say those things out of zeal. Okay? If you are going through any persecution, you are going through any tough time, you are going through any problem, come to Jesus now, that will be the end of your problem. Come to Jesus now, that will be the end of barrenness. Come to Jesus now, that will be the end of this and that will be the end of that. And the implication of that thought process is that we have raised people who see, who equate tough times to mean the absence of God. And it's not so. So I want to show you from the Bible. Okay? I want to show you from the Bible what the Bible says about tribulations, what the Bible says about tough times, about moments that is not funny. Okay? In fact, the most basic of scriptures that I can show you today, let me show you the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. Are you with me? All right. Turn your Bibles there if you are with your Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3, says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stone and a time to gather stones. Gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. All right, listing different seasons. Now that doesn't mean that, because if you don't understand this balance, the mistake you are most likely going to make is that you will create an open door in your life for the enemy to steal from you, and you will say it is God who is doing it. For instance, let me show you someone in the Bible who had an extreme of this theology, of this doctrine. The woman Hannah. Hannah was trusting God for the fruit of the womb, all right? But when she opened her mouth to speak, we saw that she was getting something wrong. She said, God had kept me from having a child. Okay? Some of you will know people that if something happened, something that you could actually have stood your ground and rebuke the devil, they say God has brought this. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, so I want us to understand the balance that being in Christ does not exempt us from the principles that governs our world. Listen to this. Being in Christ does not also exempt us from... I want to use the right word. From the... Jesus said, in this world you will face tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Okay? So it does not necessarily exempt us from the things that touches others. However, we have an advantage. Are you following what I'm saying? Our advantage is, in the midst of that situation, there is a victory that has been achieved ahead. And Bible says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our what? Faith. Is that okay now? So our advantage is that we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. You see, I've seen people who try to fold certain theological balances, and I just laugh. A believer must understand that the victory that he has been gotten for him ahead of the tribulation. So it means that no matter the problem that you are facing now, it came after the victory has been won. So it came too late. You see, when people who are in the world go through tough times, they are not going through it as one that has a victory achieved ahead. This victory is the exclusive right of those who are in Christ. Lift your right hand. Say, I'm a child of God. Say it again, I'm a child of God. Say it again, I'm a child of God. I walk in victory all the days of my life. No matter the tribulations, no matter the trouble, I walk in victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you being blessed? We are trying to lay certain foundation now. Look at what the Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 16, verse 33. John 16 verse 33, I'm just going to quote for the sake of time, says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because what? I have overcome the world. So we must understand that there is a principle, or there is a law called the law of inclusion. That when Christ died, we died with him. Romans 6. Is that okay now? From verse 3. Please give us that scripture. Romans 6 from verse 3. We must understand that. Romans 6 from verse 3. Can you be fast? Thank you. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus and were baptized into his death? Yes. Therefore, we were buried with him by the baptism into his death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we should walk in newness of life. We're included. As he was being buried, we're being buried. As he was being raised, we're being raised. Do you understand that now? All right. So we have a part in that victory. He won that victory for the church. And that's why when you read the scripture that talks about the Great Commission, Matthew 28 verse 19, start by saying something very important. He said, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth and all that. Then he now went forth to say, go ye therefore. It's called the power of attorney. It is delegated authority. When you speak as a lawyer on behalf of the owner of a property, the power conferred on you gives you the right to speak as the owner. That's the power we have. Say, I have that authority. Say it again, I have that authority. Do you understand that? Is it simple enough? I want to make it as simple as possible. Is there any lawyer here? Wait, any lawyer? We have, this church is blessed with lawyers. All right, several lawyers. Let me just have one of you. Please come. Please come. Don't mind. Let's give her a big hand. I want to re-explain what I'm saying now, all right? Thank you. Let's keep clapping for her as she comes. Thank you. I know it's not easy sometimes to stand here. Now, she's a lawyer. If I have a property and I say you are in charge of this property, when you speak, all right, you have an authority to speak on behalf of the owner, right? Now, do you mind sword when you speak on behalf of the owner? You speak with the authority as long as the power of attorney has been signed. You want to say signed, sealed, delivered. That's it. That's what we have. Now, please, thank you. Let's give her a big hand. Thank you. Let me give you an example. Recently, I was talking to two of my precious ones. And they were sharing some of their experiences with me, how that they moved into an apartment, and they began to see strange spirit. The wife saw first, will see a demon with blood around the face, and then the husband too will sleep and see demon, the same spirit. And sometimes the thing will be drawing them like it's sinking them into the bed. And, you know, they were sharing with me on phone and said, Apostle, please pray. I said, I'm not going to pray for you. You have that victory in Christ. You have an authority in Christ. Go and use it. Enter your room and command the spirit together. But while we were talking, I just got angry. So we're having video call. I said, flip the camera to the back. So they did. So I said, you very stupid looking, ugly devil. get out of this house. These are my own. Never come back. Now, bye-bye. And that was it. Peace like a river. We have the power to expel demons. You don't need drama. When you tell a demon, get out, don't wait for them to dance. Get out. And that's it. Don't come back. Nobody crosses the bloodline. There's a blood here. Never return. That's the power. Say, I have the power. Say it again, I have that power. Any believer who is born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, has that power. Oh, yes. I can tell you stories. Cases where I don't even have to cast out a devil, just have to show up in an environment and the demons begin to scream. We have that power. When we move, it is the kingdom of God moving on two legs. We have a defense structure that is beyond the artillery of any president in the world. We have the backing of the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And it's not for pastors. It's for all Christians. It is for all Christians. It is for all Christians. I'm telling you. It's for all Christians. It's for all Christians. When you see thieves show up and they will melt at the presence of Jehovah. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going somewhere and I need you to please follow me. So Jesus said in John 16 verse 33 that in this world you will, you know, have tribulations. In James chapter number 1 from verse 2 to 4, James 1 from verse 2 to 4 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. So there is a possibility for a believer to have challenges. Do you understand what I'm saying? The fact that there is a problem doesn't mean God is sleeping. Okay? Do they have that scripture? Say, count all joy when you fall into diverse what? Trials, temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. The other time I was teaching, I gave you the illustration of the rod and the staff. Okay? So there is something called the trying of our faith. It works patience in us. It works patience in us. So there are trials. There are trials. And I'm going to give you examples of people who went through trials in the Bible. We need to lay that foundation. Okay? In the book of James, chapter number 5, from verse 13 to 15. James, chapter number 5, from verse 13 to 15, says, is anyone afflicted? Or is anyone sick? All right? Let them pray. Let those who are sick go to the elders. They will anoint the person. Prayers of faith will be made over the person. So what that means is that, now listen to this. Listen to this. It is possible. I'm not saying it is the life of a believer. It is possible for a believer to fall sick. Somebody say it is possible. For instance, there are principles, and this is one of the subjects I need to teach. And that's the subject of divine health. There are principles that governs divine health. See, it is not just faith. You can believe God for divine health and live your life violating the principles that make room for longevity. For instance, if you want to live a very healthy life, it is very important you take water regularly. There are things you become predisposed to if you don't take water. True or not true? Listen to what I'm saying. Charge yourself. By that I mean charge in the spirit. Do it for 16 hours every day. Neglect your health. You will still be sick. Because you cannot violate those principles and have rest. Another very important principle to have in place to have divine health is to exercise yourself regularly. I advise people who have to sit down in offices from Monday to Friday, use Saturday and Sunday evenings to work out. Try. Say, Apostle, are you saying because you go to gym? No. I tell you, sometimes in the gym is like dying. I forgot that my coach is even here. Apostle, get up. I want to do this. I say, okay, I'm not standing up. Say, you have to go tomorrow. No, be me. I am honestly not trying to build muscles. I just want to be fit. So leave this one for bouncers. But it is a very correct principle. Are you following what I'm saying here? Basic things. Eat well. And by that, I mean balanced diet. When you do this, all right, you're also helping your faith. True or not true? There is nothing balanced in Gary. kind of wickedness we do to ourselves. People will have money and save for a rainy day while they are suffering before the rainy day. And you know what usually happens? Before the rainy day, somebody will be going through their own rainy day and they'll collect the old stuff. I think I saw something online that if the money you have cannot solve the problem you have, eat the money. I'm not giving you biblical advice. Okay? The person said, stop seeing bag of cement in every rice you eat. When you say, I'm eating this rice, this is one bag of cement. Okay? But I'm just showing you principles. Listen to this. Because today I'm going to talk extensively about principles. When the Bible said, when God finished the heavens and the earth, he rested. I've told you, that rest is not from tiredness. You will have rest when you employ principles. If you despise principles, why should you rest? For instance, train up your child in the way he should go. When he grows, not the path. It's a principle. True? True? If you despise that principle in your old age, you'll be running from police station to police station because you wasted a principle. Very, very important. Are you following what I'm teaching you here? Is it simple enough? Is it simple enough? If you look at the book of Psalms, chapter number 2, from verse 1, the Bible says, why does the hidden rage, and the kings of the earth, set themselves against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, come, let us break their bands and cast their cords asunder, and so on. All right, but the Bible says what? He that sit in the heavens shall what? Shall laugh. In the book of Psalms 18, I think towards verse 4 or 5, David said, in my distress I cried upon the Lord. All right, and my cry came into his ears, even into his sanctuary, and he bowed the heavens and did. He said, when the snares of death compassed me, listen to what I'm saying. Please listen. There are times that it doesn't matter how righteous and how holy you are walking, you just observe that there is a snare around. It looks like the devil is trying to close in on you. He's trying to do. You must know, as a believer, we have been raised for warfare. Never you think that whenever you have to engage in this fight of faith, it is because God is dead. We must understand that. Do you understand what I'm saying here? In the book of 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 3, the Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But they are mighty through God. For the pulling down of what? Stronghold. Casting down imagination. Every high thing that lifts itself against knowledge of God. Let me tell you what imagination is. I will tell you what stronghold is in the simplest way. So you want to cast down stronghold. Let me tell you. Please, let me have two of you. Nakali and Robert. Please stand here. You stand here. This is somebody from, no, don't worry, facing. This is somebody from, let's say this is Ghana, let's say this is Nigeria. The both of them are fighting. Are you following what I'm saying? And the entry point for them to fight is that they face each other. This is a stronghold. The moment this country can successfully plant a strategic loophole inside them, inside this country, this guy is still fighting this country, but this country will defeat him from inside out. What they are built inside is their stronghold. It is called stronghold because you will not easily detect it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? What are strongholds? Belief systems. You are fighting the devil, but he has already planted a belief system. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people who somehow are convinced that they are meant to die young. It doesn't matter how much they say amen to length of days, they'll be defeated from inside out. So when Job said, what I feared greatly has finally come, what was speaking? A stronghold. The devil took his time to build it. So it means that listen to what I'm saying. When we begin to engage in this warfare, our first duty is to check what is the thought process that I now believe that will give the devil an advantage over my life. It is a stronghold. Is that simple enough? Thank you. Please be seated. Now let me tell you what imagination is. Do you know what the Bible said? Jeremiah 29 verse 11, if I'm correct. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. It said, I know the thought that I what? Think towards you. They are thought of what? Peace. Not of what? evil, to give you a hope and an expected end, or to give you a hope and a future, NIV now. Do you know what imagination is? Let me ask you a question. Simple way. How many of you have ever, maybe you are in a car, and you just thought to yourself, let's just assume this car just from my sword 3 times now. Or you're on a bike. That thought just come. Imagine this bike just jump inside the bridge. Has it happened to you before? Let me see your hand waved up. You now say, I rebuke my thought. I rebuke my thought. No, you are not that wicked. It is not your thought. You only perceive and picked what the devil is planning for you at that moment. So what happens? When that thing comes, never respond to that thought with your thought. You cast down imagination with words. Any thought you respond to with thought, you have not conquered it. The devil begins to give you the impression, do you know you will die young? Do you know you can suddenly drop dead? Do you know you are going back to penury? Never you respond in your mind. You begin to bring back the word of God that addresses that situation. There are two reasons why you must speak loud. Number one, you need to hear. Number two, the devil needs to hear. You need to hear because you too need to have it. Listen, not just as a confession, but as a belief system. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not sure you are getting me. No, you don't understand. Let me help you. Please come. This is the destination of faith. Imagine me convincing this guy now that you are a woman. I say you are a woman. Look at your dimples. You are a woman. He said, what it takes to be a woman is more than dimples. I said, look at you. You are a woman. Look at your skin tone. Can you so hold the word of God to this point that the same way you know your gender, nobody can convince you against that? When you come to this point, it's called Lambano. Let me show you scripture. 1 John chapter number 1 from verse 1. Now look at it. This is the destination of the word of God. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have what? Heard. Which we have what? Seen. With our what? Eyes. Which we have looked upon and our hands have. That is, somebody come and say, let's assume you marry wrong. You said, even in the realm of assumption, I can't. Somebody said, let's assume that this building just crashed. See, what is holding this one is beyond any hypothetical realm. Even in that realm of assumption, it is not possible. The moment you can hold the word of God convincingly, the way you hold the proof of your gender, you can't convince me that I'm a woman. I'm a man. In the same light, can I hold scriptures on healing in a way that if doctor's report is trying to say something different, you now say, whose report will we believe? You cannot convince me against the report that I have. Let me tell you something. One of the sessions I'm going to teach you in this subject, Survive, is that I'm going to teach you how not to die young. Let me tell you something. At the end of my life, in my old age, one of my last preaching will be to tell the people who have been following me that I told you. If you don't know that we can hold God's word for it, then you are not following God. That we can hold God's word and stake our life. The reason you have problems is because you don't know whether today will be good or to be bad. How do you live your future in the realm of assumptions? Only God knows what tomorrow. He said these things he has freely revealed to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Lift your right hand, everybody. Say it. Do I have people here who have very, who understand warfare? Yes, say it loud and clear. I can't die young. Say it even in the realm of assumption. I can't die young. Let's go a step further. Say, even if they are selling cancer like pure water, I cannot have in it. I am saying this world is too wicked for you to live your life to assumptions. You must hold it. We speak the word of faith because we need to hear. Then the devil needs to hear too. Are you following what I'm saying? This one is we talking to ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are times that you are not speaking to the devil. You too, you need convincing. We don't just teach these things. Listen to what I'm saying. It is dangerous to be loud when you have not embodied it. Because they will check you. And it will be dangerous for you to be found as a man who is loud but have not sat with these things to hit it. Do you understand? We must sit with these things to hit it till we become one. I'm entering warfare. Because when I teach you survive, I'm not teaching you just to be able to come out and the devil did not kill me. No. You come out on top. I'm not ready to bury any of you yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say it again. The life of Christ is at work in me. Say it again loud and clear.
The life of Christ is at work in me.
That's why I said this service is like 4-in-1 because I'm still introducing. Is somebody being blessed? So I'm talking about principles now. I've shown you the word. I've shown you lifestyle. Is that okay? So there are times that a believer has to go through a waiting process. There are times it happens. Abraham waited for 25 years after God encountered him. Joseph was sold to slavery. Maybe what he did wrong was that he spoke before wrong people. The disciples of Jesus were being hunted. Like they were hunting a rat. Alright? So you must understand that there is such a thing as called the trials of your faith. So what do you do? When situations are happening, you ask. Like that man who sowed good seed in his field and woke up to see tears. Who has done this? Never you just accommodate anything as God trying to teach you a lesson. Is that okay now? Never you do so. You check. As believers, we will have to learn how to persevere. There are times you will have to walk away from certain things that looks like opportunities, but they are not godly. And the fact that you walk away from them does not mean immediately God will answer your prayer and you have something new. No. Sometimes, on the strength of you walking away from them, you will have to wait a process completely. And that becomes the testimony of your faith and your consecration to God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That you have to walk away from something that brings your Christian walk into shame and ridicule. Somebody is saying that if I don't sleep with you, you will not get this job. And you have to walk away from, say, to hell with you and your job. Are you aware that doesn't mean immediately God gives you another job? I know. Sometimes God gives you instruction. And say you are going to do this, you are going to do that, and you did it. And you are expecting that everything will align immediately. And it looks like God is asleep. He's not asleep. He always comes through for his own. So we must understand that the waiting process does not mean God is absent. Is that okay now? I said, is that okay? So what I'm going to teach you tonight is, how do we raise believers who can survive tough times? Who can survive tribulations? Who can survive losses? Who can survive pain? Again, I want to reiterate that scripture. Are you aware that the trying of your faith works patience in you? There are certain things that until you are salted with time, you will not come out well. If everything you ever desire you get, you can't be a strong Christian. There are things that you will have to learn to say no to. And walk away from. They are painful. You need them. Your flesh desires them, but it is not God's plan. And you will have to persevere. And you will have to obey God. The Bible says that when we faint in the days of adversity, what is happening? Our strength is little. There is such a thing as called the days of adversity. And we must build spiritual stamina and muscles. There are two kinds of Christians. There are those who say, I know God is able to deliver me from this. That's one kind. But we saw the story of these Hebrew guys that they said to Nebuchadnezzar and said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. That's a strong word. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. The God that we serve is able to deliver us from you and your fiery furnace. But if he does not, we still will not bow. That defiance in the face of annihilation, that sense of boldness and commitment to God. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
That the God I serve will rescue me. But if that God does not show up now, that doesn't mean he's dead. Listen to what I'm saying. There are situations that make God look like Baal. If by the way we rate Baal was that Baal did not answer, there are also biblical situations we can look at that people call on God and didn't look like God showed up. And that's why we need to teach on this subject again, that God is not missing when it ought. You say, where was God when my brother was dying, when this was dying, when this was happening? The same place he was when his only begotten son hanged. The same place. The same place he was when they fastened nails to his hands, when they pierced him with the crown of thorns, when they fastened nails to his legs, when they pierced him on the side, the same place where he was is the same place he is. We must know God beyond comfort. We must know God beyond when all our prayers are answered. We must know God beyond when things are fine. We must know God beyond when things are smooth. Do you understand what I'm saying? We must know him as God even when things are contrary. We must know him as God even when things look like the opposite of all the prophecy we ever had. Like you can receive prophecies and you know this is God and the opposite is happening. We must know God beyond speed, that there can be delay and yet God is still God. Listen to what I'm saying. When you exempt process from our Christian walk, you have exempted too much. When the Bible said in the book of Daniel, chapter number 11, that they that do know their God shall be strong. Please listen. Please listen. The word know there is the same word know that Paul was using, that he said that I may know you. This know there is know that means it is not mental knowledge. This knowing him is experience. This is the knowledge that comes from walking with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I showed you that now. That David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Mean that in the place of walking with you, I will experience the rod dimension in quick answers. I will also experience the staff. The one I will pray, it doesn't come to pass. And I will mature to come to a place where I can now wield it. He said the boat brings comfort. As you walk with God, and I tell people, listen, the step of faith is like one who is climbing a ladder. The next step will not appear until you put your legs there. There are times your life is like this, that you are wondering, God said, go forward. Where do I go from here? As you move, you will make a way out of the wilderness.
Oh, yes.
When the Israelites were moving, he said, let the priest carrying the ark move ahead. Jordan never parted until they stepped their feet there. Listen. This is the reason why you will not do anything significant if you don't make moves, even when things don't look like it. You must move. When God said, leave Ibadan and come to Abuja, at the point that we have just finished a facility, I never thought about it once till I entered the plane. The day I was going to move, my wife was saying, is that it? I said, that's it. I never sat down to think about it and say, oh, Abuja, oh, this. It was never a thought. When I entered the plane and I sat down, I said, okay, now we are moving. On to the next now. That is the life of a missionary. Tell your neighbor, make a move. Tell your neighbor again, make that move. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? There are bulk of the knowledge you will have about God that is communicable from one generation to another is experiential. That I know him. In this walk with him, I have come to know him as this. Let me tell you something. When this ministry started as a Bible study group years back on OAU campus, it was in a season in my life where I will go there, pastor people teach them, and sometimes I'm leaving the meeting and I do not have one naira for transport. And God said, this is my instruction for you in this season. Never ask anybody for money. Never give anybody the impression that there is lack. And many times I will finish ministering and enter the bus, going back to my house. And I know quite well that if I get to where I'm going and give this guy a story, there's a problem. And I will sit down as one that has money and I'll be saying, God, what is your plan? If this guy should move for me, what is your plan? Sometimes just few seconds to when the bus will move, somebody will just rush down and say, Pastor, I'm sorry. God has been placing this in my heart. I think it's too small. Shut up there. Bring it. It is too small. What do you mean? When next God speaks to you, obey promptly. Is that okay? Say, good. God bless you. Be blessed. Go in peace. That doesn't mean we're failing. We were learning God. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You have a big project in front of you. God said, take the next step. You are like, they've not approved this. Until you learn to move, you will not see him. The Red Sea never parted when they were in Egypt. It parted right in front of them. For you to see the sea part, stand there and make those moves. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. This is how we know God. In the midst of hunger, in the midst of pain, in the midst of depravity, and we are seeing how it comes through. It gives you a body of knowledge nobody can take from you. Anybody can try to convince you as against what you read. But nobody can convince you against what you experienced. Yes. I know how God comes through for his people. He has done that again and again. Are you learning something? Now listen. One of the very important things that I feel we need to do justice in teaching people how to survive is the season of failure. We can do motivational speaking from today till tomorrow and say nobody has failed until you say I quit. Failure is real. Forget about all those nonsense. So those things will inspire people. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know what it means to fail now. If somebody is married and the marriage crashed, they dissolved everything, it has failed. True or not true? You can't say you have not really, this one has failed. True or not true? It has failed. Somebody is running a business, everything crashed, they even sacked you from your own business and somebody took it over. The business has failed. Out of that carcass, God can still bring life. But let's agree first, he died. True or not true? Failure is real. The issue is that sometimes we try to live in denial. Somebody is a student on a campus, your GP keeps getting below 1 point, first semester, second semester, the school gave you advice to withdraw. Advice that you must take. I don't know why they call it advice to withdraw. You can't say, I won't take this advice. And they say it's advice. They are withdraw. You understand what I'm saying? The student has failed. But that doesn't mean you have failed in life. But there is a season where failure is actually, this is the reality now. This person has failed. This project has failed. I remember when I've shared the story, did our first construction in Ibadan. We're going to move in the same week we're going to move. Everything crashed down. The project failed. There are times as believers that we did not pray for it. We don't want it, but we have failed at something. A relationship ended with breakup, and either the guy or the girl was swearing that if you are the last human being in this world, I would rather go and marry a goat. You said it failed. Breakup is real, true or not true? It's real. Worst case scenario, the person now went to date your friend. I'm saying that there are seasons like this. Sometimes you are trusting God for a person's life in the hospital. Oh, Lord, please restore health, and the person dies. Something failed. That's the first thing I want to teach us, how to survive the seasons of failure. On Sunday, I will teach you how to survive the seasons of affliction and hard times. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's real. We are not saying that is our reality, but we are saying it is a reality. But I want to agree that many of us have gone through phases that you failed. True or not true? Aha. The man who invented the bulb, Thomas Edison, said he tried how many times again? 999 times. I don't know why it was that figure, but he said he didn't fail at those figures. He only saw ways it could not be done. He failed. He failed. He just didn't give up. He failed. One time in school, I failed. Out of 36 or thereabout, I came 33rd. I canceled 1-3. And I left the third. I took the results home to my dad. All the red things were there. He looked at it. You know, old man now. He turned the back of the thing, saw the real thing. He said, you did well. I said, yes, sir. He said, go inside, go and eat. I said, I was eating the food. It was like gravel. He came back. The way he was looking at me, you know that look, you are wondering, is he aware? Is he not aware? What's happening? The following day, I was sitting down in class and I heard the sound of his car. I know that car. I looked. It was my dad. He opened the boot and brought out a cane. So since you discovered it, you should have not allowed me it. Just what I failed. Are you following what I'm saying here? When a student is in school and you have carryover in it, you failed the subject. You can't say that actually failure is... No. Motivate yourself to retake it, but you have failed it now. It's true. And sometimes situations become compounded because we live in denial. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying? But I want to give us a balance before I talk about this. There is something that looks exactly like failure, but it is not failure. I want us to understand that. So by the time I begin to teach about this, you will be able to separate this from what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Process and failure look alike. In the sense that for both of them, there's no result. But process is not failure because the season has not come yet. There's an appointed time for everything. Is that okay now? When something is not in its season, don't overexpect it to deliver. If you plant the seed of a corn in the season that is not a rainy season, you will believe that it's a bad seed. Meanwhile, you have only taken this thing out of its season. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody just finished university and the fellow is frustrated already, sad, and say, look at my mate in billions. For God's sake, you are in season now. You are in process, sorry. You are not there yet. You are not there yet. Listen to what I'm saying. There are things I say now, and I see it trending everywhere. People are saying, this is so deep. I have said this same thing 10 years ago. And they did not pass the roof of where I said it. Why? Because the season has not come. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen to what I'm saying. I am saying when your season comes, the same thing will bring different results. When Jesus speak in Luke chapter number 4 to read the Bible, the Torah according to his custom, the Bible said what? According to, meaning that this was not the first time he was reading it. But now he was reading after God has said, this is my beloved son. He was reading after the Holy Ghost has descended like a dove. The moment he read this one, the eyes of all them that had fasting on him, you will command attention in your season, not outside your season. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it balanced enough?
Yes, sir.
Is it basic?
Yes, sir.
You must understand that. When you are in season, when you are not in a season, you are not failing. You are just not in a season. You know, the Bible says that God makes everything beautiful in its time and its season. So there are times that the time for something has not come. And if you try to force it, it will look like you are failing. But the time has not come. Listen to this. When the time comes, you will have to repeat the same thing you did before that didn't work. Now it will work because the time has come. The issue is that when people try something at the season that the time has not come and it didn't work, when the time comes, they now feel that method is not the right method. And they try something new. And now they are in the right time but using the wrong method. And it still won't work. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am saying, if the season for a thing has not opened up, you will not get a result on it. And you are still not failing. You are in a waiting process. So what happened during the waiting process? Character is being formed. When you wait your season, you will emerge strong, not haphazard. You will emerge rounded. Listen to what I'm saying. The same thing you have been crying to God about to bless you with and give you, he will give you. But there is a kind of person that must receive it. And God's priority is that person, not that thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you ask God to choose between you and the resources you are asking for, he said, no, I prefer you. Now, listen. Are you learning something? In God's equation, to him, he will not give you anything that will destroy you, even if that thing is a dear need. So, what will he do? He will take you through a process where you can wield this thing and still survive. You will see that process as God failing, as God denying. He's not. I'm saying you don't know your tendencies until you receive what you want. There are many sins people are capable of committing, but they can't afford it yet. If the money to be able to afford it comes, they will begin to live those lives. And that's why our coming to church must go beyond what we need. Do you understand what I'm saying? Coming to church must go beyond what you want to get from God. Revival is not when we have beggarly Christians around God asking, give me, give me. Revival is when we come because we're in love. This is the reason why many Nigerians travel abroad and begin to misbehave. Because the reason why many are persuaded to follow God is the hardship of our economy. Sometimes, let me still say it. Sometimes I get scared when people say New Nigeria. This thing we call revival, can it survive a nation where everything you are praying for is available through the government? It may be that somebody is not supposed to be here tonight, but the fellow wanted to watch Netflix, then NEPA took light. Nigeria happened. So now you have to be in church. Are you seeing that now? Say, this NEPA that took this light is a sign from God that you... Now you are in America in a place where there's no NEPA. Because NEPA is synonymous with light power outage. Alright? And now, here you are. Say, God, I love you more than money. No. Please say it again. Listen to this. When we come to church, we come to church because we love God
and we are fellowshipping with him. Not because there is a need. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We must love him beyond those things.